During the month of May, our Christian witness has come from the book of 1 Peter. Today I will read to you from the third chapter, beginning in the 13th verse. Listen. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. And do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. For the word of the Lord that works its way into us. Let us pray. As an act of worship, O God, now receive these words, as you receive all of our thoughts and meditations, so that our lives may be pleasing to Thee. Amen. Some of you may remember the Nesty Plunge. This commercial from the late 1970s and early 1980s featured a popular brand of iced tea consumed on a hot summer day by different subjects, all in desperate need of refreshment. Drinking a cold glass of their tea was compared to a person falling backward into a pool of cool and refreshing water. Americans watched these overheated humans, all sweaty, falling, splashing, disappearing, and finding relief in the waiting water with a voiceover that said, "Take the Nesty Plunge." I won't ask for a show of hands who remembers that. I did tell you it was late 70s, early 80s. If you were born in the 2000s, ask someone that looks like me about it. An effective and iconic image entering into the cultural lexicon, providing exactly what a commercial is meant to do, a jingle that stays with you long after you've watched it. And this image is a fitting image for baptism, especially for us, the Baptists. You see, for us, getting baptized is a full-bodied experience. The whole person is given to the water. We let go. We fall. We trust the water to receive us. We offer heart and head and hands and feet and minds and wills and all parts of who we are to the depths of the wading waters of baptism. Baptist humorist Grady Nutt instructed Baptist ministers to hold down the baptismal candidate until they bubbled. Emma, are you glad I didn't follow Grady Nutt's advice? We enter into the water as a symbol, a sign of a total commitment, a full embrace, a willing surrender. It is a complete and entire participation. All this to powerfully illustrate what we heard from Jesus in the gospel reading from John. By abiding in Jesus, we abide completely and totally in the life of God. What does it mean for you to abide with God? Throughout our history, Baptists have emphasized confession as the means by which we abide with God. We choose the life that has already chosen us. We say yes to the God in Christ that has already said yes to us. In our yes, we experience the forgiveness of sins, past and future, and inherit the promise of everlasting and abundant life as a current reality. We also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide with us, to call us into new forms of service, and to companion us along life's journey. Our rich heritage of believers' baptism by immersion is an outward demonstration of these comprehensive gifts from God. God's grace granted and through Christ and guaranteed by the Spirit. How powerful. We are born again. We are born anew. We are born from above. But there's more to our saying of yes. For you cannot say yes to one thing unless you're willing to say no to a whole host of other things. Our belonging in Christ, we are taught, is given over to the image of God portrayed in the death, the resurrection, and the return of our Lord. We are buried into baptism, as it says in Romans 6, first aligning ourselves with Jesus' death and in Jesus' sufferings. It bears saying at the beginning of our Christian experience, being a Christian does not excuse you from the pain of living. We will make mistakes. We will be hurt. Hurt by the things done to us. Hurt by the things that we have done to ourselves. And hurt by those things outside of our control that affects those we truly love. If we want to love the world the way God loves the world, we can't help but suffer for all of the world's struggles. I can hardly imagine this great love of God for a world that has gone so terribly sour. What does it mean for God to intimately know each heartache in every human heart and to unconditionally love every single person in a world where there are billions upon billions of people? There's real evil in our world. Evil of selfish indulgence. The persistent oppression and exploitation of the powerless, the injustice of bad things happening to good people, the reality of war and starvation and disease as it is experienced by children even in this very moment. the blind complicity of the privileged and wealthy who often live without conscience or without care. All this seems too much to bear. Far too much. And then there's the inner battles. Temptations of fear and bitterness and jealousy and pride and false superiority and greed and on and on and on and on. So much trouble. So many problems. All these destructive thoughts and emotions and behaviors continually tugging at every one of us, filling us with despair and hopelessness. Baptism begins a new story. God's story. The redemption story. It's the start of our spiritual journey. We are continually putting to death the old life, all in order that the new life may grow up inside of us and into the world. We die, and we are raised. We go under the water. We come out of the water. I've often said to new couples when they get married, soon you will say, I do to one another. And yes to one another in the exchanging of vows. And then, you are going to spend the rest of your life thinking, oh my word, what have I done? A one-time yes is followed by countless successive occasions of seeking to live up to the commitment, and is a continual series of future yeses and future no's. So, baptized Christians, yes, Baptists too, have learned over the years they need something more. A continual reminder of the invitation and mystery of the saving action wrought by God and received by us. We need something that can help us every day in our developing and maturing years. Something to carry us through the course of our lives. And one of the places we find that sustenance is here, at the Lord's table. A place where we can re-enter into the story of Jesus' death, resurrection, and return. A time we can again bring our yes to the greater yes of God. The God of all creation invites us to experience divine presence, divine healing, divine righteousness, divine renewal. Here, being a part of the creation through water, through bread, through wine. Here at this table, there is a visible expression of our inward faith. Here we confess, as we did perhaps long ago in baptism, not only with our hearts that Jesus is Lord, but with our whole body. Here we take God's gifts anew to live within us and to nourish us. Here we make the proclamation again for today, for us to be received. There is forgiveness of our sins, newly committed or newly realized, and a new appreciation for God's power working in us and through us and within us to combat all things that threaten to undo us. We were baptized once. We come to the table over and over again. We are baptized as a single individual. Yet here at the table, we are part of the beloved and covenantal community. We are joined with the body of Christ and seek to act as His body of love and service to the world. We are bound together as the church, localized in this context and united with others as the family of God around the world. This morning, we have witnessed the start of the Christian journey in the life of Emma Austin. She has plunged her life into this story, receiving God's grace and God's promise. God's life abides with her now and forever through faith, word, and action. And may her life be a witness to our own. May we remember our own baptism to again make the confession for this day and this time, Jesus Christ is Lord. May we draw closer to His death, to His resurrection, and to His return. May we be joined with Him and with one another in this common celebration of the meal. May we be renewed by the Spirit that abides with us, that forgives us, and that empowers us anew. Today proclaims the gospel, the good news. Today is the day of salvation. Thanks be to God.